back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. And I'm talking about this show like, man, we go way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, we got to pause the dippers for a moment. So far, I've had a mini dipper, two interviews, and a full dipper.
Woo!
Wow.
Already fit in.
Smoking. But we got to pause for a minute and update on College Pick'em. So, boom shakalaka, right. This is you. What do you got?
That's right. Okay, guys, I know a lot of you were watching this weekend. There were some upsets. And on our
yes,
College Pick'em,
there
were a couple people that picked the upsets correctly, and I just want to applaud them. They did a great job. So
hit the applause button. Who we got?
There we go. But with that being said, I'm just going to say, let's see here. Seminole Warpath is up in the lead with Big Orange Ruffian.
Is that Seminole as in Seminoles, the Indians, or Seminole?
I'm guessing like the FSU like, Seminoles.
Okay, so it's not like.
So I'm sure they picked them
not
as
like
well.
Seminole,
it's,
like
it's cool to see everybody's picks after the games come out. You can see what everybody picked, which is kind of fun.
Okay,
but you got those two up at the top. I could be saying
hey, Boomer,
this wrong.
Where's McQueen?
McQueen is in like fourth. She's tied with it. I can't believe it. I'm like, are you kidding me? How in the world? She is up there. I'm in 12th, and you're close to.
I'm middle of the pack.
I'm
at 40-something. 40-something.
Yeah. So we got a couple questions on the text thread about, you know, I didn't get any updates on my phone or email. Hey, make sure if you go online, whatever you registered as that email, you have to go on there and make sure you click a button that says email me updates or email me right before the game, make sure I have my picks in or something. It gives you those options. But also the picks for this week are already out, so you can go on and make those picks.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ties right now, so that's
I'm
what's
pretty
going
sure
on,
that
the big ties.
I'm pretty sure that after your number 12 mark, everybody else is tied, which is why I'm 43rd.
That's exactly what it is. We're actually all tied.
It's just
all the way down.
It's a big lump of people.
Big old lump.
So McQueen is fourth.
I don't understand it.
She did this to us on the NCAA March Madness bracket.
She did. And so I'm going to chat with her and try to understand the way she thinks so that I can make this week's picks. I don't think she's going to tell me, though.
She called her bookie and got it worked out.
That's what it was.
There's a rumor we just started. No, but so, it's very cool. If you haven't done it, tell them how they can sign up if they want to.
Yeah, you
can
go in and sign up. Even though it's only been a week, you can still sign up. So you can go to our www.rightsideradio.org. Up in the top right-hand corner, there's a link. Click it. It takes you to directions on how to sign up. And also another link that you can sign up on. So super easy. If you want to join us, come on and join. It'll still be fun.
And if you're like me and you did not see Colorado beating TCU or
man, Coach
or
Prime.
Yeah, or yeah, exactly, on his debut.
Yes.
And in fact, I love what he said. Told you we'd show up or something.
That's
like
right.
That.
Everybody's going to be picking them now.
And then Clemson got dominated.
Ooh, Clemson got dominated and LSU.
By Duke, right?
Yes, LSU by Florida State.
What was the score on LSU-FSU?
Florida State game It was 24-45.
Yeah, okay.
So they brought it.
So I will say, I watched the Auburn game this weekend.
Yes.
And while it's only one game, just one, and it was against UMass, I still liked what I saw. I did.
I actually watched it as well.
It's been a few years since I've watched Auburn's debut be what looked like a cohesive game plan.
Right.
And they come out and it's like, okay, and that is the quarterback, you know?
There we go, you got one.
And we apparently have practiced before we came on the field. and you know, just all said and done, it was like, and it sold out the crowd. The freeze warning was in effect, you know,
yeah.
But I liked what I saw, and I'm anxious to see where it goes. And it was also, by the way, I did not know this until I heard the commentators talking about it. Auburn is apparently the only team in the NCAA that has five top 20 opponents right now in its bracket.
They have a tough schedule.
Yeah.
A really tough schedule.
Yeah.
And it doesn't lighten up next year or
no.
the next at all,
no.
especially with everything combining. it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
When they
go to the three conferences.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, why bother?
We're just going to mush them all together.
Pack like who? Big what? Nah, I'm just going to do three conferences.
Hey,
North,
I will
South,
say,
and East.
You do get to choose if Auburn's going to win this week.
Do what?
Auburn is on the picks this week.
That's true.
So you get to see that.
Yay. All right. Hey, listen, we got plenty on tap right now, and I'm going to go into this next section, and I'm calling this next dipper Nero Fiddles. So let me do some refreshing for you. So there's the old saying, Nero, the Roman emperor, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. So I pulled this piece off of history.com. In July of 64 AD, there was a massive fire that ravaged Rome for 6 days. It destroyed 70% of the city. Can you imagine? 70% of Rome. I mean, Rome in its day would be like saying 70% of New York City burned, all right? It was massive. Half the population was suddenly homeless. And there was a well-known expression at the time that Nero, who was the emperor at the time, fiddled while Rome burned. And the expression has a double meaning. It basically, not only was Nero, you know, alleged to be just playing music while his people suffered, but he was also considered to be a very ineffectual leader in crisis. He was considered to be a decadent leader. He was very unpopular, and it only got worse. So here's the thing. History says that when the Great Fire broke out, Nero was not in Rome. He was at his special villa in a place called Antium, 35 miles away. Okay, so Nero was on vacation. There's that. Next, some people believed that Nero had even ordered the fire to be started. They claimed that soon thereafter, he cleared the lands in order to build his golden palace and what they called his pleasure gardens. All right, so he was on vacation, and because of what happened and the way he was perceived by his people, there was a huge amount of mistrust. So there's that. And then Nero decided to blame Christians. So Nero blamed Christians, which were still kind of up and coming at the time, for the fire and had many of them arrested and executed. Okay, so there's shifting of the blame. So you got Nero, who is an unpopular and considered to be a decadent leader, is on vacation during a major crisis. His people don't trust him in the outcome. And he decides to shift the blame and take no responsibility. Does this sound at all familiar? I say that because we are sitting right now in a situation where I almost feel like we're watching history repeated, that Biden is fiddling while Rome burns. I get some of y'all are going to go, oh, now, Phil, a bit of a stretch. Is it? Let me find which article do I want to go with first. Hang on. I'll tell you what. I've got one that actually lays it all out in great detail. In fact, it should have been my first article, so I'm going to make it my first article now. How about this? When Kabul fell to the Taliban in August of 2021, Biden was on vacation at Camp David for 6 days. Yeah. When Biden fell off his beach bike that day in 2022, he was also there during the week that the Dow closed below 30,000 and gas shot up to $5 a gallon, so economic crisis. On the second day of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Biden was on vacation in Delaware. On the time the Chinese spy balloon was confirmed flying over the United States, Biden was on a four-day weekend getaway. When the toxic train derailed in East Palestine, Biden has yet to visit. He was also on vacation. When the Maui fires just ravaged whole parts of the islands of Hawaii. Biden was vacationing in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and then didn't go until he had a chance to go do his second vacation in the same month at Lake Tahoe. So I told you a minute ago, Nero fiddled while Rome burned. I mean, there's some, did he have a fiddle? I don't know. All we know is what it's basically meaning is Nero did not get actively engaged in a way that was meaningful to his people who were suffering a crisis. And when Rome was burning, he was away on vacation. And then on top of that, Nero was not trusted in the outcome. And then on top of that, Nero found blame. He shifted the blame to others. Story here from the New York Post that I just quoted to you a minute ago with several examples of him being gone during crisis. New York Post, this came out on September 2nd, so just 3 days ago. The slacker-in-chief Biden keeps up his record 40% vacation pace despite disasters. Says the 24-7 grind of the White House has been anything but for President Biden, who has devoted more days to downtime than any of his recent predecessors. It points out that Biden's 40%, he's out of office 40% of the time. 40% of the time. It far surpasses that of President Donald Trump, who was only out 26% over 8 years. Or excuse me, 4 years. I'm sorry, 4 years. In contrast, Ronald Reagan and Barack Obama both vacationed just 11% of their two-term presidencies. And Jimmy Carter, who was known to be a workhorse, despite the fact I didn't like the way his policies were put in place, he is only out for 5% of his whole term. Biden is in the first first 957 days has been gone on personal trips for 382 days, y'all. The rest of us have to take what we call paid vacation, right? The rest of us have to ask somebody. Now, he's the commander-in-chief. Who do you ask? Yourself. But at the same time, you look at it and go, dang, dude. I guess the president is technically always on duty. I get that. But at the same time, most of us have to sort of track it and spend it within a certain amount of time. And if you got government benefits, you got to spend it or lose it sometimes. But Biden, 382 personal days away from the office, so many of which have been falling in line with disasters. Nero is fiddling while Rome is burning. We'll take a break. I'll come back and talk about some of those in more detail, because what kicked this off for me was an article from the Daily Caller that came out yesterday about how Biden exploded in frustration while he was on vacation because Afghanistan wasn't going the way it should have gone. He and half of his staff were on vacation at that time. Really? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. You're going to want to stay tuned, because the third dipper of the day will be coming up for too much longer, and it's going to be Adventures in Woke World. And man, I tell you what, I got a few in there that'll curl your hair. But right now, we are in this dipper that I'm calling Nero Fiddles. Nero Fiddles. And basically, I'm referring to the idea that Biden compares to Nero in terms of the fact that he's always gone. Here's the deal. Nero, history says, was on vacation when Rome burned. 70% of Rome burned. And then on top of that, he was widely mistrusted by his people. He was not popular. And then on top of that, he decided to shift the blame and not take any ownership in what happened. Okay. We'll keep talking that through here in just a minute. Let me go to some text messages before I lose my time. David from Huntsville says Biden's just eating ice cream. Democrat Party working its ignorant magic on the U.S. and the world. Vote out all the Dems and some Republicans. Okay, David from Huntsville. Tracy from Athens says Biden's riding that gravy train on biscuit wheels. Frank from Madison says, just think how much damage Biden could do if he was in the office every day. You know, there is that. Yeah, there is that. Great point, Frank. Ben from Decatur, Biden's been on vacation since the day after he was elected president. I would agree. Michael from Sylacauga, Biden doesn't even make policy decisions. It doesn't make any difference if he's there or not. The people who do make the decisions that are using him as a figurehead to deflect accountability. You know, There's a lot of question about whether or not it is truly Biden who is making all the decisions. And when you watch some of the behaviors, you just have a hard time believing that it really is him guiding things. Case in point, I will say, I just, you know, during a break, I saw that President Biden had awarded the Congressional Medal, excuse me, the Medal of Honor to a Vietnam vet. This gentleman was a helicopter pilot. I didn't have a chance to see the whole citation yet, but apparently he rescued a number of people under heavy fire. And so years later, he's now been awarded the Medal of Honor. And Biden stood up there on stage and then hung it around his neck and then walked out of the room. And the ceremony wasn't over. And so people are looking at that going, I mean, there's already, social media is already alive with, did Biden just walk out on the ceremony? Because they still had to read the citation, do photographs, and then, you know, have a closing prayer. And Biden walked out before any of that. He just literally stepped off the stage and walked out of the room. And even to the extent that you could see some people in the crowd were looking at him like, where's he going? I don't know. But anyway, I have a hard time believing that someone who acts like that is making all the decisions. You know what I'm saying? I have a hard time believing that a guy who is that easily confused, or that easily able to lose his place, that easily able to say the wrong thing, or to say stuff that his staff has to walk back on, I have a hard time believing that he is literally the dude, making all the decisions. Anyway. Randy from Huntsville just texted in and says, Randy from Huntsville says, I've heard rumors about a land grab in Hawaii. You know anything about it? I do not, but I've heard the same rumors you have. I mean, so that notion I gave you, history.com, says there are some who believe that Nero actually burned Rome so that he could have space to build his golden palace and what he called his pleasure gardens. That some believe that Nero allowed the burning to take place so that he could have the land he needed close to the palace. I don't know, Randy, and I hesitate to go too far into that because it's one of those things that's it's based on conspiracy theory, and so I don't have an answer for you. But there are some who believe that in the absence of in the absence of true intervention, that there are some people swooping in trying to buy up the land, that it was part of the plot. I don't know. I do know there's a lot of questions about why roads were blocked, why local government acted so badly, why water was not given to put the fires out, extra resources were not applied, and people died, man. We've got hundreds still missing, and we've got confirmed over 100 dead, and no telling what the dollar sign is going to be total in actual property damage. The entire city of Lahaina is scorched and gone. There were people that were literally jumping out of their cars to jump into the water to get away from the flames that are moving so fast. And in the middle of all that, Biden's on vacation. And he's on vacation in, you know, the beach, in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And then before he goes out to see everybody, he takes a second vacation in Lake Tahoe. Well, when we get back from this, I'll wrap this section up and I'll tell you, not only has he been frustrated at times because he got his vacation interrupted, but he's even had the gall of late to say that, you know, he's kind of homeless. He's got nowhere to go. What are you talking about? Stop playing the fiddle while Rome is burning. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all of the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So wrapping up this segment I've been doing about Biden being compared to Nero, who fiddled while Rome burned, I'm talking about the fact that these constant series of crises have been occurring in our nation, and Biden, who has literally been clocked as having been away on personal days 40% of his presidency, 40 freaking percent of his presidency, is just another example of Nero. Nero was actually on vacation, according to history, at his villa in a place called, Antium. 35 miles away from Rome when 70% of Rome caught fire and eventually burned down. And here's Biden, constantly away. Here's what got me. This article right here, this article alone, in the first, I mean, keep in mind, he was sworn into office in February of 21, right? And then you've got the fact that that's the first, in the first 5 months, the Afghanistan debacle began to occur. And then, you know, by the time he'd been in office 6 months, Afghanistan was in full, you know, meltdown mode. Did you know he was on vacation when that occurred? Yeah, to me, that's... As that thing is beginning to get worse and worse, and it's a major military operation, it would seem appropriate to me for troops in the field to know their commander-in-chief was close to the situation room so they can know that he's got his finger on the pulse of what is happening at the very least. And granted, I get it. Even when he goes to Camp David or when he goes to his home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, one of his two homes in Delaware, he's still accessible. I get that. The nuclear football travels with him. He has aides that travel with him. The Secret Service travels with him. He's got access to Air Force One with all the major communications gear, but it's not the same. It is not the same. And don't try to equate it as the same. Because the logistics that go into keeping the commander-in-chief in touch and all that are huge. And he can't go out for his notorious ice cream without it being a major event. But when you're in the White House and you can just go downstairs to the Situation Room, you are far more accessible. Not only that, y'all, it just presents a good image. And I get it. In a 20-year war, you can't say the president should have never had a day off. I get that. But this was not that. He'd been in office for 6 freaking months. 6 months. Was he that tired already? In 6 months, he already had to have vacation time? So it says here in this article from Daily Caller that came out yesterday, Biden exploded in frustration when he heard Afghanistan was about to collapse during his vacation. There's a new book coming out about the Biden administration. It's being written by a guy who was given unparalleled access. The guy's last name is Foer, F-O-E-R. I forgot what his first name is. But Foer wrote this book, Franklin Foer. Franklin Foer wrote this book with, you know, a huge amount of access. And I don't think it's coming out the way the Bidens thought it would. So Biden reportedly became incensed, according to this article from Daily Caller, after he had learned the Taliban was marching on Kabul and that Ashraf Ghani, the then president of Afghanistan, had fled the city. Apparently he yelled, "Give me a break!" That's, you know, classic Biden. But get this piece. Here's what incensed me. Ahead of the withdrawal, several White House officials all went on vacation. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Remember Blinken? Remember the ineffectual Antony Blinken who was, and I talked about it on my show back then, who would give these press conferences about how, well, there's really not that many Americans left. There were 1,000. Well, we're going to do what we can to get them out. We tried to get them to leave. They wouldn't, some of them didn't want to leave. Secretary of State Antony Blinken was in the Hamptons. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was at the beach. Biden himself was relaxing at Camp David. Psaki decided she had to come back early after seeing images of, quote, Afghans falling from the sky. So, okay, let me remind y'all. That situation we had in Afghanistan where civilians were rushing the airfield, grabbing hold of U.S. military planes, and flying upwards into the sky and dropping thousands of feet to their death. It was an awful, awful scenario. That was not day one. That was a week into the chaos. We had already exited Bagram, and we were now in chaos mode, doing the best we could. Thousands pressing in on the airport in Kabul. And that's when Biden went on vacation? So if you can pinpoint in time, I could go back and look and see. I need to get the calendar out and see it. But the timeline of events for Biden to be on vacation when they were falling from the sky is a clear indication that he did not care, and he was going on vacation because he'd been going for 6 months. The Biden administration internally reviewed its withdrawal in April of 2023 and blamed former President Donald Trump. Remember, I told you that one of the things about Nero was he was on vacation, and when his unpopularity rose up among the people, he quickly tried to shift the blame. In this case, it was to the Christians with Nero. In Biden's case, it was to Trump. It's just like we're revisiting history. How about this one, though? A couple more stories. East Palestine. Remember East Palestine? Most of the world doesn't. Why? Because no one talks about it anymore. Story here on September 3rd, 2 days ago. Fox News. President Biden was questioned he was doing a live press conference in Live Oak, Florida. Good on him for going to Florida. He was asked why he had not yet visited East Palestine. Good on the member of the media who asked him a tough question. Mr. President, you haven't been to East Palestine yet. Here's his answer. Are you ready for this? I haven't had the occasion to go to East Palestine. There's a lot going on here. I just haven't been able to break. Does he think we don't see him? Does he think we can't see? It's like the Cheshire Cat smiles, but you can still see the smile. He's not truly gone. Does he think we can't see that he's been to Lake Tahoe recently? That he's been on multiple vacations to Rehoboth Beach? That he's been, you know, wining and dining trips to see, you know, special people for his election? I haven't had the occasion to go to East Palestine, the president responded. There's a lot going on here. I just haven't been able to break. And he says, I was thinking I would go to East Palestine this week, but I've been reminded that I've got to literally go around the world. I'm going from Washington to India to Vietnam. It's going to be a while. And we're making sure East Palestine has what they need. Listen, don't try that. The president's travel schedule is planned way in advance. If he had actually been planning to go to East Palestine this week, like he said, then people would have seen it on the calendar and that it would have been canceled because of other pressing matters. But here's Biden, being Biden, being Nero. Here's the last one I've got. And Boomer, I know I have a sound effect, and I'm thinking I'm going to want to use it still. I mean, it's too good not to use. So can I squeeze it in? Let's see here. Last one I've got. September 4th, Fox News. Biden says he wasn't on vacation this weekend in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. He says, I can't go home. What? Yes, he was approached by reporters as he was leaving Mass. And I get it. Politicians, you're walking out of church, you still got to answer questions. Well, he ignores them half the time, but he chose to go ahead and be gamey on this one. The president, who has two homes in Delaware, lives in the White House and also has Camp David, says, well, I've got no home to go to. He said, the Secret Service is working on my home in Wilmington, and so I haven't been able to stay there for a long time. And so, yeah, I had to come to Delaware, except, you know, here right now, I'm only here for a day. He's got people in Maui who lost everything. And his excuse is, well, I don't have a home to go to. Sir, you got the White House that has actual servants who wait on you. If you press a button, they bring you coffee. It's just not plausible. It's so awful. He deflects and he brings it back to himself at all times. Well, I've been busy. Well, I need a break. Well, I don't have a home. Well, I once had a disaster happen. I had my kitchen catch fire. I just, come on. Remember, you got that sound effect, that clip. This is a clip. I think Will Cain on Fox News had one of the best rants that I've heard in quite a while. We're going to listen to about a minute and 40 seconds here. Starts off with Biden, and it flips over to Will Cain. Go ahead and play it.
In 2.5 years, I've flown over more land burned to the ground as a consequence of wildfires than occupy the entire land of the state of Maryland, from down in New Mexico and Alabama all up into Montana and around. It's been devastating.
Now, we can get into the stats. We could actually talk about the effects of natural disasters, their frequency and their severity, and actually put it into historical context and give you actual intelligence on whether or not this is an increasing problem in the United States. But that's not the point that I think is important to make in this moment, is that I'm sick and tired of politicians standing on the graves of dead children in the case of school children, school shootings, or natural disasters where towns are burnt to the ground or destroyed by hurricane, and using it as a moment to ghoul and pimp for their politics. It's beyond grotesque to land into a disaster zone where people have been destroyed and to say, you know what should be the solution here? You know what the problem is? You haven't given me enough power. Your climate science, no, your climate change, Chicken Little, has turned into a religion. It's not to say there's not science in some of these elements for us to discuss, but you've turned it into a religion, and you're the same people that can't sound an alarm in Lahaina, and you're asking us to give you the power and money to turn over to you the global thermostat. Mm. I'm sorry, but you don't have the competency to run anything, much less to stand in these moments of destruction and say, the real problem here is you haven't given me enough power.
Preach.
I can't even answer that.
All right, go cut it there, bud. So, yeah, the bottom line, we're going to take a break right now, but the bottom line is this. That's a classic example. That was another deflection. It's about Biden, and then he's on vacation. And then when he does address it, he finds a blame game opportunity. And then on top of that, he's extremely unpopular, and people don't even trust the answer once they finally get it. And that's where we are right now. Friggin' Nero is fiddling again while Rome is burning. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back and... yeah, adventures in woke world. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.